Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, Joycers. Here on Joy's very own show about pets. Brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home, it is Pets Allowed. And yes, as you may just have heard, I do have a special guest in studio with me today. You might have heard him all around Joy before, because he is a Joy regular. He is Callum.
You're about to say a different word then.
I am not about to say anything. This is Pets Allowed. This is a serious show about pets.
Yes, all right, pets. Very good.
It's Callum from Serial Offenders. Callum, welcome to Pets Allowed.
Thank you very much.
Been trying to get you on this show for...
I've been trying to get on this show for ages.
You have been, and the reason I have been trying is because you love pets.
I do.
Especially your wacky, crazy pets.
Yes, very much. I'm known around the studios off air and on air, unfortunately, as Crab Man, because I'm always talking about my hermit crabs or my pet Yabby, who unfortunately passed on a little while ago. Or, you know, like, and constantly gushing about what my greyhound's been up to and that sort of thing.
Well, now that you mention it, greyhounds, that is something we're going to be talking about today, because they're often referred to as the couch potatoes of the dog world.
They really, really are. It's amazing. This dog is so lazy that he makes me feel like the most active person that has ever been.
Very interesting.
I feel like he validates my own laziness.
Your own laziness. Yeah. So that's why he makes such a great pet for you. Interesting indeed. Now, on the program today, we're going to take a look at some of the special breeds that come into the Lost Dogs Home, greyhounds included. What else do we have coming up on the show today, Callum?
We've got a whole bunch of cat breeds.
We are going to be talking about a whole bunch of different cat breeds, some of the more unusual ones that you might not have heard of before, or that you maybe have heard of but you don't know what kind they are. So that's like the Tonkinese, the Ragdoll. We're going to tell you a bit more about them.
No idea about the Tonkinese. No, a little bit about the Ragdoll. I'm ready for an education.
Excellenty, excellenty. We're going to be chatting with Melanie Luscombe, who is the foster home coordinator of the Greyhound Adoption Program, which is going to lead us into Callum telling us all about his. And Callum, I believe you've got some strange pets for me.
Yes, I've looked at some of the weirdest pets people have in and about their homes.
Excellent. That is going to be very, very interesting to see and to hear all about those pets. And, of course, all your favourite Pets Allowed segments as well. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LostDogsHome. We just reached 37,000 likes this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
On our Facebook page. That's exciting.
Huge.
And you can keep up to date on all our stories on dogshome.com.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Welcome back to Pets Allowed. It is time to have a look at the news and events from last week. Now, Callum, I've mentioned this a bit earlier to you, but last night we had our vets working overtime to desex in the city.
Until 3 a.m, did you say?
Well, that's when sort of surgeries went to. They were there all night because they obviously got to look after the cats after their surgery.
Yeah, the sleepy kitties.
But yeah, the total desexing sort of went to about 3 a.m.
Wow.
Now, that was about 40 plus cats, I think about 43, 44 cats in the end, because we had a few people maybe not be able to find their cats to bring them into the
if they knew what
clinic
was going on.
The cats probably hid for a little bit, but we probably had about 44, I think 43, 44 cats who were desexed last night. Now, started at 4 p.m, we did discounted desexing, so up to 70% off our initial original desexing price, so it was $45 to desex and microchip your cat, because the whole reason behind the event was that 80% of the animals that actually come into the Lost Dogs Home, so this is 80% of 31,000 animals, I think it is, are undesexed. Now, that's quite a lot when you think about it.
That's a huge number.
And when you think about that huge number, they're out breeding. Cats can breed, you know, 2-3 times a year and have litters of 4 to 6 kittens. And then those kittens are going to go on and breed when they get to 4 to 6 months old. So you're going to be ending up with so many cats. So hopefully you know, being able to do these low cost, high volume desexings is just going to mean that we're going to be able to reduce the numbers of cats coming into the shelter, and we're going to reduce the number of cats out in the wild as well.
Does the Lost Dogs Home desex every cat that comes through, like every stray that comes in?
Yeah, any animal that goes up for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home is desexed prior to adoption. That's a legislated requirement that we have as well. So every shelter has to do that.
Well, wonderful. Very good.
They have to be desexed and microchipped. We do vaccinations, worming, all that kind of stuff as well. And they're still relatively cheap when you think about it. You know, you could go to a pet store and pay $1,200 for a dog or $1,200 for a cat. And you're going to come to the Lost Dogs Home and pay $300 for a dog that's been desexed, microchipped, vaccinated, wormed, health checked by a vet. Same with cats. And they're only $170 for kittens. And $95 for adult cats.
Yeah.
Should definitely come along because it's, you know, good value for money.
Look, Spending 11 hours desexing cats isn't my idea of a good time,
it's
but
not
definitely,
fun,
definitely. Well, no, it's not really for me, I don't think, but it's definitely a fantastic cause.
Well, thank you very much. Now, also this week on our Facebook page and website, you might have seen our latest finishing school video. So each week we have 5 dogs that go through our finishing school program, and it's just to help them with a little bit of retraining before they go up for adoption. This week, the mission was to improve their attention and their focus with the look command. So, Callum, do you ever get the feeling that your dog is not paying attention to anything that you're saying?
Very often. I have a greyhound. Most of the time, he's asleep.
Well, okay, greyhounds are pretty special. But what about the little one?
My schnauzer crossed Aussie Terrier. She's pretty good generally, but there are certainly times when you'll be trying to grab her attention and she is just off chasing something or scratching away.
Well, this week our hero dog in his finishing school video is Jack, a highly distracted 2-year-old poodle mix. He finds everything in life to be quite interesting except the person on the end of his lead. So he got some retraining this week, and there is 3 easy steps in this video that you can do at home to teach your dog to improve their intention and focus. You can find the video on our Facebook page or our website at dogshome.com. Now, Callum, you're a regular listener of Pets Aloud, so you know that every week we have
this week's Pet of the Week.
So, I think you should introduce our Pet of the Week this week.
I really like the sound of Caramello. Adorable.
They call
him
Caramello.
Adopt
the kitty.
Him. We should have rehearsed that.
We should have rehearsed that, but, you know, it was fun.
Adorable Caramello is affectionate and sweet. He particularly enjoys being patted, and he's often up for a good cuddle. He sounds exactly like me, basically. Although Caramello enjoys lots of human interaction, he also has an independent streak and is happy to entertain himself when you're off at work or doing other things. Caramello will need to be an indoor-only cat due to his delicate light features being prone to sunburn. Look at those eyes.
Absolutely. You can see a picture of Caramello on our website at dogshome.com. He's a gorgeous ginger kitty, and he's got light features, so he is going to need to be indoor. We obviously encourage people to keep most of their cats indoors most of the time as well, just for their own safety. You can find him on our website, dogshome.com, or come down to our North Melbourne shelter to adopt.
He has such a beautiful face.
He has a beautiful face. He's got, like, pleading eyes going, please,
he
take
really
me
does.
Home.
He's
take me home.
And I want to.
Coming up, we're going to be chatting to Melanie from the Greyhound Adoption Program and then chatting all about Callum's Greyhound Buzz. This is Pets Aloud. The Greyhound Adoption Program, or GAP, is an initiative of Greyhound Racing Victoria and dedicated to finding homes for greyhounds after racing. Now, Callum, you know all about this because you have one yourself,
yes,
who we're going to be talking about very soon. Now, greyhounds make fantastic pets. They're quiet, lazy, and gentle dogs that thrive in a home environment. Joining us on the line to give us an idea of how a greyhound makes its way from the racetrack to the couch is GAP's very own foster home coordinator, Melanie. Melanie, thank you so much for joining us on Pets Aloud today.
That's a pleasure.
It's great to have you here. So can you give us an overview of the Greyhound Adoption Program and how many greyhounds have actually been adopted through the program so far?
Yeah, the Greyhound Adoption Program was started out by a couple of vet nurses down at Sandown Vet Clinic. Greyhound Racing Victoria then took over the program and now run it on our behalf. They recognised the need for them to look after greyhounds once their racing careers have finished. So they operate our property up here at Seymour, where we house 60 greyhounds. We then have another 40 or so out in foster care at any one time.
Wow, that's quite a lot of greyhounds.
Yeah, it keeps us pretty busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I believe it's just passed over 500 adoptions.
For this last financial year, yes. We had 538 adoptions.
In 1 year, that's
record.
Fantastic.
Yes. No, we were very excited to do that. It was by far and away our best result for the entire time that we've been operating.
Now, greyhounds, obviously, you know, a lot of people think, oh, my God, they need so much work. They need to be a sprinter. You know, they love mm-hmm. running, that kind of stuff. But how do you actually prepare a greyhound for its new home?
They actually are very easy to prepare for their new home. People see them running races and, as you say, they think that they need a lot of exercise and they're very high maintenance. It's actually the opposite. Because they're a sprinter, they tire really quickly. So the races that you see them running are over in 30 seconds, and after that the dogs are exhausted. So they spend probably 90% of their day actually asleep on the couch. So they're actually quite easy to prepare for home life. We do that with the use of foster homes. So we have volunteer foster carers who take the dogs in for 3 weeks before they're adopted, and they help them adjust to home life. So they get them used to walking up and down stairs and shiny floors and kids on push bikes, all things that a racing greyhound's never seen before. The foster carer helps introduce them to it and integrate them into life in a home environment.
Because racing greyhounds really don't have a normal domestic dog life at all, do they? They don't have any of like the usual dog experiences because they're all about the racing.
Not as such, not as what we would think as a pet dog. They have actually a much better upbringing in terms of they get a lot of handling from a lot of different people. They're used to going to the vet all the time. They get bathed all the time.
Yep.
So in terms of that sort of thing, they actually have a better upbringing than pet dogs. But no, you're right, they don't generally live in homes or have kids around them or often other breeds of dogs, things like that.
So you've mentioned that you have a lot of foster carers. So how many people are actually involved in Greyhound Adoption Program?
We've got, on staff, we've got 3 full-time staff members, 2 part-timers, we've got 3 casual kennel hands, and then we've got our team of foster carers who are all volunteers, and we've got about 120.
Amazing. Lots of people absolutely love greyhounds.
Yeah, that's right, and they're very, very passionate. Our adopters and foster carers are very passionate about the breed.
Now, you have the part of the program with GAP is the GAP assessment. It's the green collar assessment. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we invite people who adopt dogs not from ourselves, so they might adopt a dog from another shelter, or they might have raced the dog themselves. They might have adopted a dog directly from the trainer. They can actually present the dog to us for what we call a green collar assessment, which allows the dog to go without a muzzle.
Okay, so they're required by law, is it?
That's right. Yeah, only the dogs that are adopted out from us are allowed to be without a muzzle free. If you adopt a dog anywhere else, they do have to still be muzzled in public.
But unless they've passed that assessment beforehand.
Right. Yep. That's right. And predominantly what we're looking for there is that the greyhound is friendly and sociable to little white fluffy dogs.
And is it still Bingo and...
And Stumpy.
Stumpy.
Yes, yeah, they're still here. We've got 2 new little dogs now called Spike and Moby. They're brothers, so they're just learning the ropes now.
Wonderful, because I got to meet those guys when I came up to GAP.
You did,
a while ago.
That's right.
So in your opinion, why do greyhounds make such fantastic pets?
I often refer to them as a good lazy person's dog.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, you obviously know from experience.
Callum has a greyhound.
I'm also a very lazy person, so we fit each other to a T.
That's right. Yeah. Now look, my own greyhound at home, if it's a day where there's a bit of rain or he thinks it's a little bit too cold, I actually physically have to push him out the door to make him go to the toilet. And that's not uncommon with them. They'd much rather stay inside on the couch or on a nice warm bed. They're great because they don't need a lot of work. So you know, a half-hour walk around the block is ample for them. They're buggered after that. They want to have a rest.
That's fantastic.
And if it's a day where it is raining, you don't have to go out and walk them. They're quite happy to just laze about inside. So they don't take a lot of work. Because they're really placid, they're very easy to manage, they're easy to handle, and they're really quiet. A lot of people that adopt our dogs say that they've never actually heard them bark.
Oh, wow.
They do bark, they're dogs, they can bark, but a lot of people say they've never heard them bark.
Mine's a bit vocal when he sees you coming home.
Oh, yeah, happy to say hello.
Very happy to say hello.
Yeah, sometimes they can be a little bit when it's dinner time as well.
Now, Melanie, just one last question. If our listeners are hearing about greyhounds and they're going, oh, my God, I want to go and get one, mm-hmm. what are their options in terms of adoption?
Yeah, certainly. So we get people to visit our website. You can see photos and bios of all the dogs that we have available. And on there is also our application form.
Yep.
We aim to match the dogs to the home, so we like people to put in the application form so we can see what you're looking for in a dog as far as age and sex and temperament, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And then we match the dogs that we've got to the criteria that you're looking for in your home environment. So we ask people to jump on our website. If they don't have internet access, they can always contact us here in the office and we can help them out.
Melanie, thank you so much for joining us on Pets Allowed today. It's been great to hear a bit more about the Greyhound Adoption Program.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Now, that website, if you wanted to find out more information yourself, is gap.grv.org.au. gap.grv.org.au, or you can also search on Facebook for the Greyhound Adoption Program Vic. Coming up, Callum is going to be sharing his own story about being owned by a greyhound.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9. On air and online at joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Daryl Summers. We love listening to Pets Allowed every Friday from noon.
Just speaking to Melanie Luscombe from the Greyhound Adoption Program about how they transition greyhounds from racing into their new homes. My special guest co-host joining me on Pets Allowed this week knows all too well about being owned by a greyhound, Callum.
I'm not sure that I like the phrase being owned by a greyhound.
You are owned by your greyhound.
How do you know
that? Because I know you. There's so many photos on your Facebook of Buzz. Tell us about him. Come on. How did he come into your life?
Well, I was a bit shocked, Mum, because Mum's actually, technically Mum owns her, but he's my dog because I'm the one who gives him all the love. She just came along one day and said, "So, Callum, are you free on the weekend? Because I'm going up to Seymour to the Greyhound Adoption Program to get a greyhound." And it was so out of the blue, especially for my mum. She assures me that she'd been thinking about it for ages and ages.
Right, yes.
But we, yeah, it blew my mind. I was like, "What? Really? A greyhound? Why?" And, like, knew nothing about the animals at all. Headed up. We've had him for about 2 years now. And he is amazing. He is just, a little furry bundle of quite a big, quite a big furry bundle of entertainment, and he's very good value.
I was going to say, that's the thing about greyhounds, and what most people don't realise is they're quite a large breed dog, but they are quite lazy at the same time.
Yes. This one, Buzz, thinks he's a lap dog.
Right.
So you sit down on the couch, he'll jump up on the couch next to you, and he hates the laptop because it means he can't be on your lap.
Yes.
Neither of my dogs like the computer much.
Yeah. Get off that computer, pay more attention to me.
Exactly. He has a habit of pawing at the keyboard. As soon as one hand stops patting him because I have to type something, use two hands, use the mouse, he'll attack the keyboard, like just lazily pat at it until I pay attention to him again.
I absolutely have the same problem with both of my dogs, so it's the jealousy thing, I think.
Yeah, they're like, no, don't pat attention to that.
Yeah.
Don't pat that, pat me.
Pat me.
I'm softer.
So did your mum ever sort of tell you why she decided to adopt a greyhound?
Not really. She'd been thinking about it for ages, and she did a lot of research about it and read a lot about Gap and thought, well, here's a lazy dog that fits my lifestyle, because she doesn't want to... she works full-time. She doesn't have time to walk a dog for 2 hours every day and train a dog and all that sort of thing. So it really appealed to her to get a dog that's really quite lazy, low maintenance when it comes to, you know, just 1 half-hour walk a day, the rest of the time they sleep. And we want a companion, a good companion dog for our little schnauzer who'd grown up with other dogs, but they'd since died. And she, you know, really wanted to keep her company because she's a very attention-seeking, like, needy little dog who loves, just being... Yeah,
and how
a typical terrier.
And how do they get along?
She didn't like him at first.
Right.
She would walk under... He's tall enough that she could walk underneath him without touching him, and she would just completely ignore him. Now they are the best of friends and go out and chase each other in the backyard and wrestle and play and have a great time.
So what is your favourite thing about Buzz? What's the one thing, main thing that you love about him?
I think it's how immovable he is.
When he chooses not to move.
Yes, I just think it's hilarious. He will pick a spot and you cannot move him. If he's standing there, he just walks up and just leans into you. And you'll take a step away and he'll sort of stumble a bit because he's just using you as a leaning block. And then he'll just walk up and just continue. It's just a constant pressure. He's very companionable,
little
fella.
And he's quite a nice height for padding as well.
He is. He's the perfect height. You'll be standing around and suddenly you'll notice that you've been patting the greyhound. Because he just walks up underneath your hand and you just idly play with his ears.
Just pat me. You just don't know I'm there, but you're going to pat me anyway.
Fine. It's fine.
And does he have any sort of strange and quirks?
He's quite vocal. Melanie was saying that greyhounds aren't particularly vocal. He's quite a sook. And so he whimpers quite a bit if he wants something, anything at all. At one point, when we first got him, he was lying on the couch and he was sooking a bit. He was whimpering a bit. And we were like, what are you, you know, what's your problem? He'd been fed, he'd been walked, he'd had plenty of love. The heater was on, so he wasn't cold. Turns out he was slowly sliding off the couch.
And he needed help.
And he couldn't help himself. He was just slowly slipping off and complaining. So Mum got up and just pushed him back onto the couch and he shut up and went to sleep.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about greyhounds as well. When you're talking about having the heater on, is they've got quite a thin skin. And and a short, very short coat. So they absolutely love being warm and inside, which is probably another reason why they don't like to go out when it's wet or raining.
Mum gave him my old dressing gown. So we hadn't bought me a new one. We have matching dressing gowns.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
It's a little weird, but it's quite
cute. It's very cute. Coming up, we're going to be talking about some of the more unusual cat breeds that we get into the Lost Dogs Home.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
Joining me in the studio today is the lovely Callum from Serial Offenders, filling in because, you know, Alan's been busy with DCX in the city, Oz is overseas, and Kate just got back from overseas, so I wasn't going to make her come on the show this week.
Everyone's busy, so you reach out and you grab someone who's passionate.
That's right, someone who absolutely loves their animals, and that's why you're here, Callum. Now, most people don't realise, but at the Lost Dogs Home, we actually have cats.
Well, it's called the Lost Dogs Home. It's not the Lost Dogs and Cats Home.
No, it's not, but it does confuse people. But we've been looking after cats for about 25, 26, 27, somewhere around those many years. And from time to time, most of the cats we get through sort of your domestic short hairs, domestic long hairs, domestic medium hairs, those kind of standard moggies. But occasionally, and it seems to be the season for it at the moment, we'll get some cats that are quite particular. Different breeds. Now, these can be quite expensive breeds as well. So usually when they're at the home, they get adopted very, very quickly. So one that we often see is the Orientals. Now, Orientals are quite a svelte-looking cat, and they're quite particular in, you know, what they like and how they bond with their humans. Now, we've got some information here, Callum, about Orientals. One is that they will always try and interrupt your activities. So they always want to be a part of everything that you're doing.
Are you trying to brush your teeth? Oh, that's fine. That's right. I'll just play with the water in the sink.
Yeah. Oh, you're tying up your shoes? I'll help you.
That's fine.
Oh, you're in the refrigerator. I'm there too.
I think you should eat this.
Yeah.
My cat's jumped up into the fridge before.
And showed you what chilly. You should eat.
Yep.
And they absolutely do love the warmth of your lap as well. And they'll have a comforting purr or a nuzzle you when you need it the most. They're going to greet you at the door to tell you all about their day. Now, my boss, Martha, actually has an Oriental. And he is he's part Tonkinese as well, actually. And, you know, they kind of love, he's very vocal. Very vocal. He talks a lot and they need a lot of attention as well, I think.
One of my friends adopted a Siamese cross. I'm not sure exactly what he is. He's a little fella and he immediately latched on to my mate's younger brother.
Yep. You're my new best friend.
Yep. And he adores him. He is extremely affectionate and will love anyone in the house. As soon as this guy comes home, he just follows him anywhere he goes, room to room, just sits with him, meows at him if he's not getting attention. That's extremely cute and makes me a little jealous.
That is very cute. There's also Ragdolls, who are docile, calm, and floppy nature. They have a floppy nature, believed to be passed down from the Persian and Burman breed. And they're kind of really cute. We have a Ragdoll at the shelter at the moment whose name is Luna, and she's an affectionate cat. She loves a good cuddle, but she also loves her best buddy Nova, who is a Siamese cross, and she is absolutely beautiful as well. Now, another cat breed that we get into the shelter every now and then is the Scottish Fold. Scottish Folds are adorable. They have these little folded ears, but only some of them fold. So when they're born, they'll either have I think they have them pushed up to start off with, and then they'll either, when they're like sort of 3 or 4 months old, the ears will flop and fold in.
So it's sort of opposite to a lot of terriers.
Yeah, absolutely. They typically have soft voices, display a complex repertoire of meows and purrs, and they often sit in what they call the Buddha position, which is with their legs stretched out and their paws on their belly. Absolutely adorable.
Yoke.
And the last one we sort of see every so often is the Tonkinese. They come from the Siamese and Burmese, and they're intelligent, active, vocal, and generally like the breeds that they've come, that they've been bred from. They are very generally people-oriented cats, playful and interested in what's going on around them.
It does say here, and I'd like you to clarify for me, that their voice is similar in tone to the Burmese, persistent but softer, and similar to the gentle quacking of a duck.
Absolutely. Yes. So it sounds like a duck, really. And if you've ever met a Tonkinese, which is my boss, her cat is part Tonkinese, they do have a meow that sounds... Yeah, it's a bit like that. Absolutely. It sounds like a duck that's quacking. Coming up, Callum, you're going to tell me a bit about some wacky, wonderful breeds and pets around the world.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Callum has been joining me as my special guest, and one thing Callum's known for around Joy is his wacky, wonderful pets.
Yes, I've got a bit of a reputation of finding obscure animals and telling anyone who will listen and forcing people who won't listen to listen.
All right, so what have you got for us this week? Right,
which one would you like to learn about first? Capybaras as pets, giraffes as pets, skunks or foxes?
Okay, so capybara, I met a capybara and you're incredibly jealous of that.
Incredibly jealous. Oh my God,
so
I want one.
Tell us about capybaras.
They're the largest rodent you can get. They look essentially like giant guinea pigs or a little bit like a small furred hippo.
Small furred hippo, right?
A little bit. Imagine a giant guinea pig.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Yeah, that's a much better description. They are from South Africa. They are highly social, so they're not something that you can have.
You can't have only one of.
Right. You need a couple because they have been known to live in groups of up to 100.
Yep.
But generally, it's 10 or 20.
Wow. Okay.
They are hydrophilic. They absolutely adore water. They need lots of access to water that they can swim about in or paddle about in because they will just sit in a shallow pool. There are so many pictures of capybara sitting on surfboards or boogie boards in people's pools and just swimming about with them. It's adorable.
Now, when I went over to Blog Paws in the US, there was a capybara there that I met, and on one of the really warm days, they accidentally broke one of the water sprinkler thingies and there was just water gushing from it. And I remember the capybara running up and just standing in the water, just going, why is there water falling from the sky? It's amazing.
Oh, that's so adorable.
All right, Callum, so that's a capybara. What about giraffes?
Giraffes. You cannot have a giraffe as a pet. However, in Kenya, in Nairobi, how embarrassing, there's a small hotel which was founded by Leslie Melvilles. They founded it for the African Funding of Endangered Wildlife, and it is specifically, it's a small hotel on 140 acres, which has 8 Rothschild giraffes, which are a critically endangered species of giraffe, and they live and breed on this land.
So it's kind of like a sanctuary for these giraffes.
Yeah, and they when they find more of these giraffes, they bring them in because they in Nairobi, Kenya, they are critically endangered and not looked after properly.
That's
like,
good.
Like there's, well, no, it's not.
No, it's good that they're being looked after. Yes. No, I mean, it's good that the sanctuary exists. Yeah.
Yeah. But what happens is you can stay in this hotel where giraffes will just come stick their head through the front door or stick their head through the windows and steal some off the breakfast table or stick their head in through the window of your bedroom. It's just like, oh, hey, what you doing?
Very cool.
Yeah, what are you doing in here? Do you have a look? Mind if I try, can I try a bagel? Thanks. I'll just grab that. And they just steal from you and wander off. And it sounds fantastic. There are amazing photos out there.
That does sound absolutely fantastic. Now, one thing you also talked to me about this week, which I found quite interesting because, you know, they kind of smell a little bit, is the domesticated skunk.
They smell a lot when they panic. You can smell them from 2 kilometres downwind.
Wow.
Yes, and it's still incredibly pungent.
And it lasts for quite a while, doesn't it, as well?
It lasts ages, and there are lots of different remedies to get skunk smell out of your clothing or out of your car or whatever. Don't put a skunk in your car.
Don't, please. Yeah, why?
Just don't. But they make fantastic pets. They're incredibly curious and loving and affectionate, and they're very similar to ferrets in temperament.
Okay.
In that they tend to get themselves in trouble getting stuck in cupboards, which they are good at. They're quite good at opening, or they climb around inside chairs like recliners and that sort of thing. So you have to be careful if you have to.
So don't sit on it.
Don't sit on your skunk.
Yeah.
There's controversy because you can get them de-scented.
Right.
You can get their scent glands removed.
Yeah.
But that's been illegal in the UK for quite some time now. And so in American pet stores where you can buy skunks, you can get them decentered. And it's one of their only defense mechanisms.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of controversy about that. But I mean, personally, if I was going to have a pet skunk, they're very pretty and very affectionate. I wouldn't want one getting kind of startled. Yeah, yeah, someone brought their dog over or something and suddenly the house smells like skunk. That would be horrendous. So not for Callum.
Not for Callum.
But they are gorgeous pets. Some problems that they do have is vets don't really know how to treat them.
Yeah.
Because they're not
a common.
They're not a common pet. And there hasn't been much research done into treating skunks because they're not often domesticated. So vets often don't know how to treat them properly. It's a bit of a trial and error process, which when you're ill can be quite serious.
Yeah, quite terrible. And what about foxes? You were saying that there's sort of some domesticated foxes?
Yeah, well, this was an experiment. And I must say, foxes were a special request of Kevin's.
They were a special request because I love foxes.
They're very pretty.
They're kind of like dogs, but crazier.
Yes, that's a good description. And it might sound weird having a pet fox. My mum's cousin had a pet fox back in the day. Because they're a horrible pest over in Australia. But where they're not introduced, where they're native, people love them and they're not a pest. They keep, you know, rabbits down and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Some Russian scientists did an experiment trying to domesticate the silver fox, which is an offshoot of your standard red fox. And it took them about 50 years of selective breeding because
wow.
they are a wild animal,
completely wild animal.
You can't train them to get foxes that would then display dog-like behavior.
Yeah.
So you can't have a pet fox either, although a lot of people in Britain leave bowls of milk out and bowls of food to encourage them to come to their yard and eat, and they can just sit and enjoy watching.
And they help protect the yard and that kind of stuff as well.
They do. They definitely do.
Well, Callum, they are some wacky or wonderful pets you've had there.
How much do you want to have a close encounter with a giraffe now?
A giraffe would be awesome.
It would be amazing.
Well, you know, it's been great having you on the show today, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on, because of your crazy, crazy pets. And also to talk about greyhounds, because you love your greyhounds.
I love all greyhounds. Every greyhound I come across, I gush over a little. They're just gorgeous.
Coming up, we're going to get some dog dates happening to see what you can get up to in the next couple of weeks with your pets.
Pets Community Calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Hopefully it's going to be a lovely weekend this weekend, and if you're thinking about heading out with your pet, why not head to the grand opening of the Craigieburn Dog Park on Sunday the 14th of September. Now, a lot of people go, where's Craigieburn? Where's Craigieburn? It's north.
It is quite north. I used to work out in Craigieburn.
Yes, you did. And it's about sort of 30 to 40 minutes away from Melbourne, I reckon.
Yeah, from the CBD.
Yeah. So there's going to be demonstrations, a barbecue, discounted microchipping from the National Pet Register, dog adoption, Channel 10 weather presenter Mike Larkin, and more.
Now there's a grab for you. Mike Larkin.
Mike Larkin is a very good friend of the Lost Dogs Home. He does Give a Dog a Home every Friday night.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, if you check out the Channel 10 News, it's going to be on tonight. He'll feature one of our dogs up for adoption.
He is one of the most entertaining weathermen out there.
He is pretty amazing. We actually have Mike Larkin as one of our IDs as well. He's Sunday 14th of September from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 127 to 147 Craigieburn Road in Craigieburn. You'll need to book for microchipping today. I think by about 4 p.m. is when the cutoff is, and that website is petregister.com.au. It's $25 per pet. Coming up on Sunday the 21st of September is
Hobsons Bay City Council Microchipping Day, Cherry Lake Reserve, Miller's Road, Altona, in between 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It costs $25 to get your pet microchipped, which is very cheap.
That is very cheap for microchipping, and again, those bookings need to be made on petregister.com.au. Thank you very much, Callum, for joining me on Pets Allowed today. It's been fantastic to finally have you on the show.
For having me. Yeah. It's been magnificent.
We featured a few cats up for adoption this week, including the lovely Nova, the lovely Luna, and Caramello.
Caramello, that was the one Caramello I remember, with his very big pleading eyes.
That's right. You can check them all out on our website at dogshome.com. And look, it's going to be hopefully some lovely weather. So let's hopefully get out with our pets this week. And thank you very much to Melanie for joining us on the program from the Greyhound Adoption Program. It was fantastic to chat a bit about greyhounds as well, Callum, because you love them.
I love them.
Well, I'm going to sign off from Pets Allowed. Don't forget to walk your dogs and pat your cats.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.